Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Welcome to another From the Terraces. I have to apologise to Polish Waves. That was me that cut them off. I stuck a USB stick in the socket and suddenly the whole station goes quiet. So probably broken it, but there you go. Apologies, that was Terrace's fault entirely. Thanks very much for the last hour. So we're talking about, obviously, the opening games of the season, at least as far as Histon and United go, and complete opposites, really, in terms of the performances and the results. Histon stormed away to a huge win against Haverhill, and, well, we'll talk about United in a minute. I'm sure Lynchy will be texting in any minute now. We'll also, as promised, be talking about the women's football. We've got interviews with Kevin Hoover and Tim Rapley. Kevin Hoover, United women's team, and Tim Rapley, City Ladies. Couldn't get a hold of Histon, unfortunately. They don't reply to their DMs, unfortunately. So we'll perhaps catch up with them later on, but that'll be towards the end of the programme, about 7:15. You can get in touch with us all the usual ways, 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490 if you want to text into the studio, or you can email studio@cambridge105.co.uk. So if you've got anything to say about any of the football, and those who travel to Port Vale, I'm sure will have plenty to say about the football. That's did Joe at the end of it, to be fair. Then get in touch with us. I look forward to hearing from you. And we'll start, as we usually do, with Manchester United. That's wishful thinking, obviously. Cambridge United. The jingle, probably the best bit of the show as far as United are concerned. Matt and I, apparently we both went to the game, and I was sitting three rows in front of him and never actually saw him during the game. So there we go. Apologies to Matt for that one. What colour microphone you're on? You're on green. There we go. The only thing I said, I did a review, a 1 minute snippet for Julian Clover at the end of the game, and I said you can't really take any positives from it apart from that's not how we play during the pre-season, and I think that's the only thing you can say about it. We had a midfield that didn't appear to come to the game. They didn't pick up the second ball out of defence. They didn't pick the second ball up coming back from attack, so we couldn't attack, we couldn't defend very easily. Physically, we were rubbish. I mean, we were pushed off the ball everywhere. I mean, it was interesting, talking about the game afterwards, I kind of think sometimes I go to a different game than some other people do, because apparently we dominated the first 45 minutes. I'm not sure where we dominated the first 45 minutes. For 20 minutes, we just about held our own, and we did have some chances to score. But apparently we kept Ricky Miller in check. Not the game I was looking at. Ricky Miller was all over us. I mean, you might not like the guy, but he can play football.
Yeah, and I think I saw something somewhere where somebody said that every time Ricky Miller got the ball, we had kittens, is the polite version of it. And it was very, very true. And as much of a, I can't use appropriate words for Ricky Miller and what he's like. Unfortunately, he ran us absolutely ragged. And for two defenders, two centre-halves in Taft and Taylor, who were taller than him, and not to win any kind of physical battle with him was kind of worrying in the first place. I mean, we all know what Pope is about, Tom Pope, who scored the two goals for him yesterday, and he is a physical player, and he's a clever player as well. You could sit there and you could say to see his little nudges, especially in the first half when they were attacking towards our end. You could see the little nudges and the little pushes and this, that and the other. And it was clever play from an experienced striker who does score goals. And, you know, in all fairness, Tim, the only difference between the two teams yesterday is the fact that they had something up top, something that stuck with them all the way through. We just had absolutely nothing from the word go. And like you, listening to our colleagues on BBC Radio Cams, who I know they've got to try and paint a bright picture. Well, there was no bright picture to paint yesterday. We were absolutely dreadful. Defensively, just poor. Midfield, as you say, far too lightweight. And, you know, somebody like Gary Deegan, who posts himself as a hard man, and his foul for, well, I say, I can't even say it was a
hard man to find
yesterday.
Yeah,
he was, absolutely. And, you know, he tried to commit a foul for their first goal when they were on the counter-attack. Yeah, he brought the man down, but didn't win the ball, didn't do anything particularly useful. And, a lot has been said about the free kick, but you could see straight away Ricky Miller was always going to score that free kick at half-time.
OK, so you were sitting directly behind me.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Was it me, or did we just not set up well for it? I kind of looked at it and I said to Joe as he was lining up, I said, "This is going in," because it just didn't look right. We didn't and 40 was, you know, it came over the top. It was okay. It was a good free kick. There's no denying that. He curled it over the top and into the top corner. 40 didn't get close to it.
No.
The wall didn't seem to rise to the ball, and they seemed to be poorly placed. So I don't know quite what was going on there, but. You've got to defend better. I mean, we shouldn't have even been in that position. No. You've got to defend better than that when it happens.
Absolutely. And as I say, I mean, in all fairness, let's be honest, it wasn't even a free kick in the first place. The only reason why they got that free kick is because the referee didn't give the foul. By Deegan,
sorry, Trevor Kettle, we don't call him a referee.
No, he didn't have his best game.
He didn't have his best game. The thing that gets me is that people were screaming at him, and you think it's just not worth the effort with Trevor Kettle. It's like he is who he is, and what happens, happens, and you've just kind of got it. Maybe the bizarrest decisions around, but you've got to kind of accept it because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he was definitely at his best, best of being the worst. It was. A foul, but as you say, you've got to set up better. As like for me, could Ford done better? It's hard to tell. I mean, it was a good free kick, and you knew he was going to score. I think everybody knew as soon as he stepped up to take it that he was going to score, and the ball ended up in the back of the net. But fortunately, I didn't see the penalty because I was just coming back from the bar at the time after half time, and just as I was coming in, the referee had given the penalty, so I haven't seen it back yet, so I can't judge. People say it's not. People say it is.
I think most of the people around us seem to think it was a reasonable. I mean, it's difficult to see because it was right down to the end,
course.
But most people thought it was good. Talking about seeing it, it's on Quest now, isn't it? Some bizarre channel. Mm. That I found almost by accident. Although, is it the same team that are doing it? We've still got to suffer through the same horrendous format.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I haven't looked at it, but it didn't help conceding before half time, conceding after half time. And yes, people can say for sort of 15, 20 minutes in the second half, we had one or two minor chances and we pushed forward a little bit more. But you know, the defending for the third goal is absolutely woeful again, and it raises a lot of worrying questions. And we're only one game into the season, and the biggest question is this squad A big enough and B good enough for this season? And there's going to be a lot of I'd say a lot of outgoings, but I don't think there'll be a lot of outgoings, but we've got to hope there's got to be one or two more players coming in, because if we're going to settle for this squad, we're going to struggle big time.
It's really difficult, though, isn't it? I mean, Joe said in the question and answers on the open day, I don't know whether you went down.
No.
Basically, he said it is what it is. You know, we're bottom of the league in terms of the transfer activity we've taken, but we're constrained by what we've got. So we were never going to be buying You know, a lot of players. Are we short of a striker like Ricky Miller? Yeah, we are. We know that. Aziz has looked good in pre-season, scored a lot of goals. And okay, I heard a lot of yesterday talking about, oh yeah, but you know, when you play sort of tin pot teams, you know, several divisions below you, then you better hope you're going to put seven or eight past them. And in fact, it's embarrassing when you don't. And they pointed to Braintree, but. I think the difference is, and as I said, the only positive you can bring from that is that's not how we played in pre-season. And yeah, Aziz scored lots of goals against lower down opposition, but he scored lots of goals, and you know, he looked good when he was there. So it's kind of, you hope he can do it, but I think it wasn't his fault, and Lynchy says this as well. I don't think it was his fault yesterday. I think the service he got was so poor, anyone would have struggled to score. So Lynchy says, there are plenty of words I could use for that performance, but you probably couldn't read any of them out on the air. Yeah, probably not. Here's the ultimate insult, though. We looked like a Derry team again. Did you see Derry in Oxford?
Yeah, it was a
4-0 defeat. Our attackers were non-existent. Lamb and Moo, Duncan, Maris went missing for the whole game. I felt a bit sorry for Aziz, as I thought he worked quite hard up front on his own with the Muppets behind him. Amu was knackered after 55 minutes. Why didn't we bring Knowles on for him? They were so poor, Amu and Dunk, that they left our fullbacks quite exposed. But even so, they are not very good as well. And conceding 20 shots is just not good enough. I'm seriously worried by the lack of striking options. We have a striker who's not a proven scorer, a striker who can only play 30 minutes a game, and a striker who'll be injured for half of the season. And that's what, you know, what we knew. I mean, we are thin on the ground. I think from what we've seen from Joe in pre-season, he's done the only thing he can do, which is bring a lot of the youngsters into the squad and get them playing in pre-season minutes on the pitch with the first team squad, so that when we suffer the inevitable injuries, at least he can slot people in who know, you know, where they're supposed to be playing, even if they don't actually manage to play there. I'm going away on Friday, thank God. I need a break already from watching that garbage. Part of me says, yeah, I get it. But the other part says, you know, calm down. One game. And I noticed there was some booing at the end of that game, which I think, opening game of the season, you might not have liked what you saw, but booing is really going a little bit too far. I generously put it down to the fact they were booing Ricky Miller off the pitch. And I don't know what, I've got a story about Ricky Miller. I'll talk to you first, and then I might tell it on air later on, but I don't want to get into trouble over it. Yeah, it is what it is, and it wasn't good enough, and everybody knows it wasn't good enough. Let's get straight into what Joe had to say following the game, because, again, he recognised it wasn't good enough.
So, Joe, defeat on the opening day, plenty for you to think about, I would imagine.
Too much, which is a bit frustrating for me, because, you know, I think the key part of the game was the two goals either side of half-time. What was her reaction after that? I mean, it's just absolutely unrecognisable, you know? Really unrecognisable of what we are about and what we are as a team. Because up until the first goal, I mean, it's come from a corner. I thought it was a good away performance. There wasn't much happening with 40, and we broke away two or three times and forced one or two corners. And you sit there, you think, get the half-time now and you can get on the front foot, as it's 0-0, and obviously that goal changed the whole complexity of the game. And then you try to work things out at half-time just to try and then chase that next goal, but concede straight after half-time as well. I mean, you know, there was a lot of things that were just unrecognisable.
Yeah, and you started the game well, one or two chances in the opening 20 minutes, some good service into the box at set pieces from George Maris, but the goal just before half-time, frustrating. I would imagine it changed the team talk.
100%, totally. Like I said, we felt comfortable. We felt okay. Come from our corner to not to be able to deal with the first ball and then the second ball and then to make the foul. I mean, I think, you know, and then that happened a few more times, and the softness about us from a defensive point of view at times today, and the softness about the challenges for first and second balls, which were key to what we did at the back end of last season. And we've put everything together in pre-season, and like I said, it was just unrecognisable performance from us, but I don't want to take anything away from Port Vale. I thought they were really motivated today and fully deserved their win.
And you do your team talk at half time. As a manager, You must have been absolutely furious to concede so quickly into the second half.
Totally. We, you know, similar circumstances, you know, not defending the first ball, and then it breaks down, and then we give away a sloppy penalty. And it's just key moments where they don't exist. They haven't existed for us. We've always been 100% focused and 100% on it. So whichever way the game affected some of our players today, it's turned out to be negative. But yeah, we've just had a frank discussion there for the opening day. I don't want to make it, you know, just the one game and the whole season's ahead of us. But you know, that's, we talked about identity, we've talked about bravery, we've, you know, that's not what we do, and very disappointing.
You talk about focus and identity. The front two, Miller and Pope for Port Vale, an absolute handful this afternoon. Never quite got to grips with them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, absolutely. Never dealt with them properly. Never dealt with the second ball off them properly. Just everything. Every single part of what we tried to do today. We had two or three chances that you probably could have taken. But every single cog in the wheel today was just like off. And, you know, it's just... When the opening day, the optimism and the, you know, it's, you feel, I never expected a performance like that today. But they come, and they've come at the start of the season. So that's the wake-up call some of these players need. You know, and we hopefully get one or two injured players back quickly, because that new squad needs bolstering.
Yeah, and talk about chances just after the 2-0. There's a chance for Eddie, he's well blocked on the line, but on moments like that, games can change.
Yeah, there was one or two moments in the first half from a couple of set plays where he had a header at the back post, and then he nearly got on the end of a Maris free kick. And like you say, that chance dropping down from at a key moment, if we'd have got that. But all the key moments belong to Port Vale today, and I thought they dominated, certainly the second half, dominated the physicality, you know, dominated territory. When they got that second goal, their tails were up, and, you know, it's from our point of view, it's disappointing.
Yeah, and the wide men for them, I thought, caused a little bit of a problem as well, and seemed to stop Leon Davis and Jake Carroll getting forward perhaps as much as you would like them to have done.
I wanted them to get forward. I mean, it's about bravery. It's about, you know, taking the game to them. And like I said, we never did. We never really did. Probably on a few occasions we did, but like we said, we never really took the game enough to them to warrant them to be under pressure at the back or anything like that. So... you know, I've no complaints about the scoreline. I'm, you know, no complaints that Port Vale fully deserve to win.
And particularly frustrating, you know, pre-season has been good. You know, you worked on formation, fitness, everything looks good. You do your homework and the build-up to the game. So how disappointing is that for you?
Yeah, well, it's like you can have your pre-season. I think I've spoke about this. You can have a great pre-season, a poor pre-season, score loads of goals in pre-season, not score goals in pre-season. But when it comes to day one, all the talking stops. And that's when you've got to produce. And we never produced today. And we've got some hard games coming up. And already we've got to regroup from it. The good thing is it's the first game. But, you know, absolutely can't have any more like that. Too many more like that. That's an unacceptable way of playing from us. It's one way we never played. And we've worked a system that has been very rewarding for us. But I might have to rethink about the physicality of our team. And become a bit more robust if I see much more of that.
Yeah, Jabo Abira injured today. He may have made a difference today. Brad Halliday out injured as well. I noticed he was here today, but assume not quite ready.
Not quite ready for today, and we'll try and push to get them back next week. And yeah, we've got a behind closed doors game plan for Tuesday. And quite a few more are going to play in that, I think. Just got to... It's a tough one, guys. I have to say, it's a tough one to take. We've worked so hard as a staff to get this club back to where we felt we have a good way of playing and a good identity. And, you know, that's just been wiped out straight away on day one. And we have to rebuild it now. And the key thing is the players have got some young, a lot of young ones in there, by the way. A lot of young ones in there who, you know, they'll have to learn quickly.
Yeah, it's long season, of course, but you've got a full week before a home game against Notts County and time to prepare both mentally and physically for that one.
Yeah, but that's... Can't get on the training pitch, so we'll have to try and find somewhere to train, work on it, talk about it Monday. Yeah, we always do. We review, get the players ready. We've got a game plan for Tuesday for obviously the ones that didn't quite play today, but I think we'll involve a lot more that even played today. And then get ready for what is, you know, we've got Notts County coming, and Newport, and then it's Northampton. So, You know, it's well documented. We've got a really tough start to this season. Can't have too many more games like that. 100% we can't have too many more games like that. Got to man up a bit. You know, man up a bit. When the physicality comes, that's something that we stopped last year. We were able to deal with it. We were able to get around it. We were able to dig in, fight. You know, it's been a real clear thing that I tried to get into the players, and they've still got it in them. Today it wasn't there, so we've got to unlock it.
Online, on digital, and on FM.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.
We were just talking during the interview. I mean, yeah, we have got a difficult start to the season. Port Vale, I mean, OK, we beat them 5-0 at the end, but then they beat us. It was 3-1 in that dreadfully cold day where Derry got so much stick. So that was never... We were never going to start the season like we finished it last year. Then we got Notts County. We'll ignore Newport County in the Caribou Cup. It's a nice little money earner, but not much of a game. And then Northampton... away, so it is a difficult start, and that certainly doesn't help us. But the way I look at it is, you know, tomorrow is the next Saturday is the first week of the season. Let's forget about that one. Draw a line under it, and you know, we'll see next week whether we've got things to worry about or whether it was genuinely just I wouldn't say a one off, because it's probably going to happen again during the season. But you know, is it something that we need to be really concerned about?
It certainly adds a little bit more pressure on to next Saturday, in terms that we've delivered such a poor performance already so early, and that means, you know, Joe has got to get into these players and get them fired up, ready for next Saturday at home, because you know, it's like you say, if you lose next Saturday, it's not going to be an easy game, because Notts County are tipped to go up. You know, they're tipped to be right up there this year, and we all fully expect them to be up there. And you know, if you lose that game, and then you can kind of take out Newport. Although, if we lose against Notts County, maybe you'll be looking at Newport as a way to build up a bit of morale and getting a win. We don't know yet. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see. And then you go to Northampton, who are going to be, you know, a tough team to beat away from home. And you know, fortunately, we haven't got a bad record there, but you know, they're going to be a good side just coming down. And then, you know, after that we go into Exeter at home, who you know, got into the playoffs last year and were really, really good. And they're a team kind of in transition, but it seems to have hit the ground running under new management already. You know, you can't afford to fall too far behind in any case early doors. And you know, we're not expecting too much, I'd say, this year, but you know, you definitely don't want to lose sort of the first three games of the season. You've got to pick up a point somewhere, maybe even two if you have to. And that's going to be the biggest thing for us. You know, we've got a home game. You'd hope we'd get 3 points. We don't know. And then you've got to go away, and you've got to be solid, and you've got to be a lot better than what we were yesterday. And you know, I think it'll be another physical game. And like Joe says, you know, if we're not going to be physical enough against Northampton, we're going to get played off the park again, and we're in trouble.
Yeah. The only other positive from yesterday is, of course, we're not bottom of the league.
No, that's right.
Since
yeah.
Morecambe got destroyed, what, 6-0, didn't they?
Yeah.
Newport lost Mother, so we're out the relegation
zone.
Yeah,
we're doing all cannon fodder already at the bottom, thank God.
Yeah, I was going to say. Did you see, and they were saying that Port Vale are playing Morecambe next week, and they said, did you see the price of the concession tickets at Morecambe?
No.
£18.50 for a concession ticket. You travel all that way, and then you'll
be out of business by the end of the season. One goes down, as long as it's not us.
Yeah, that's why I think that's
no upset. Silly. All the teams down in Tim Potland, weren't
they?
Salford have to spend some more money.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
the triangular.
Actually, I was listening to Salford. The Five Live kept cutting back to the game, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, what a team they're looking." Yeah. If you've got a League 2 / League 1 front line, you've got Rooney, you've got Gaffney, and you've got. Can't think of his name now. Who's the third one in that?
They've got Lloyd, haven't they?
Yeah,
from
so you know, they've got such a strike force that you kind of think, you know, if you're not winning that league, then you know you've spent, you know, you've not really worked it. See, Coleman's very upset about it all, saying they're just buying the league. You know, but well, then if that's what you need to do to get up there, then
having watched the game yesterday in the Port Vale Supporters Club, I can testify that at the moment Salford are rubbish. So and they haven't gelled at all.
They said it was the perfect start to the season. Mm. I was thinking, no, it wasn't. You drew one all. A perfect start to the season.
Joshy almost scored.
Yeah. right. Okay. So there we go. We've got next week Notts County at home, first home game of the season. Let's treat that as the first game of the season and see how that goes. Newport County in the Caribou Cup, the 14th at 7:45, and then Northampton away the following week. I'm going to miss both the Newport and the Northampton game, so I'm not worried about the Newport one, but a bit disappointed about the Northampton.
At least we're not playing them away.
Yeah. There you go, there you go. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Oh, sorry. I was telling Matt my holiday plans there rather than actually listening to what was going on. There you go. Let's contrast now. Compare and contrast. It's like a history exam. It couldn't have started any better for Histon after such a good end to the season. And the only thing is, Lance talked last season about last week on the pre-season interview, that perhaps a little disappointed. I mean, not that it would have made any difference, but he kind of felt that perhaps Histon should have pushed up to third place. They had it there after the God Manchester, that gutsy win at God Manchester, to then really kind of tail off at the end was probably not what he wanted to do, and I think he thought that third was a possibility. Not that it would have made any difference to promotion, but let's try turning your microphone. Yeah,
like you say, wouldn't have resulted in a promotion, but that's not really the point. You know, if you've had a successful sort of three quarters of a season, you don't then just want to tail off and let all your kind of hard work be for nothing. And, you know, I think, you know, momentum can be quite important as well. And it just felt as though we'd, I suppose, crawled over the finish line somewhat. And you're a little bit worried as to whether that might kind of translate into the first few matches of this season. But like you say, anything but. We came out firing. I think actually I almost missed the first goal because
I think everyone almost missed. Haverhill certainly did.
Yeah, they just didn't really come out with the starting blocks, and it was a perfect way to start, really. I think if we had any nerves, not that it looked like there were any, but if we did, they were brushed aside immediately. And I think set pieces are probably going to be our strong point this season when you look at the types of players we've got on the pitch and the height that we've got.
Yeah, I think because that was interesting, the corners, Bexfield taking the corners, some of the delivery, like last season, it was almost a little lacklustre and it was kind of floating into the box. And I think this year, as Lance points out, it's coming in hard and fast. Mm-hmm. And with the aerial power you've got, Rob Ruddy's you've got Rob Ruddy at the back, you've got Ed Rolfe, and you've got Lewis McDonald as well.
Lewis McDonald, even Evan and York. You've sort of powerful aerial.
Yeah. So you've got a good set piece team there. But the thing that impressed me most was just the way in which they came out wanting to play that game, and the early goal makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And then going two up as well was fantastic. I mean, if you want to find the negative in it, the only problem was you could have scored another three or four goals and should have done it. Score. Could it? Yeah. You know. So, but you know, yeah. you're not going to turn your nose up at the score.
No, absolutely. And I think, like you say, what impressed me was just the intensity of it, and it looked very much as though Lance wanted to defend from the front line, and you could see sort of the harrying and harassing that Rolf and Danny Gould were doing up front. You know, it was really impressive how we weren't giving them much time on the ball, and then even the Wiggins were joining in when we were pushing them wide, sort of in their own half. Yeah, I was really impressed, actually. I don't know whether Danny Gould will remain there when Brown's fit again, because unfortunately he's got a break in his arm and he's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks, I think. So how long Danny will remain up front, I'm not sure, but it seemed to work a treat. And yeah, we just didn't give them any time in the ball. They didn't have time to sort of set themselves or relax, and it kind of, I suppose, eased the pressure that that could have potentially been on our back line, and we never really looked too much in trouble. There were a couple of spells where Haverhill got in and behind, and Roach sort of did well to keep out a couple of goal-bound efforts. But other than that, it's probably one of the most comfortable performances I've seen us put in this season. And like I say, it's the perfect way to start, and we're going to need it as well, because I think it's going to be another competitive season. God Manchester won 5-0. I think they're going to be up there. Ollie Drake's done a tremendous job with them, so they'll certainly be contenders. Stowe Market will as well. Norwich United, I don't know too much about them, but I think they've recently signed Danny Crowe, so They'll have a few goals in them, I'm sure. So you know, there's going to be a few up there competing, and you saw it happen with the likes of Felix Stowe and Coggeshall. They got off to an absolute flyer, and if you can get, you know, your first 10-15 games out of the way, and you've won sort of a good, I don't know, 12 or 13 of them, then you've got every chance. So yeah, Lance will be looking to kick on for sure, and you know, we've got I think we've got Manchester coming up in just under 2 weeks' time now, so that'll be a big test as well. So yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it's all positive so far. Just hopefully we can keep up the momentum.
The difficulty is, and I think obviously this isn't just Histon's League, it's all of the feeder leagues down at the lower end, is with only one promotion place, it's kind of like, I mean, you conceivably the league could be over by Christmas. You know, Coggeshall and Felixstowe last year, I mean, they were only two places last year, possibility of a third depending on the reorganisation. But if there's only one and you get another Coggeshall or Felixstowe in the league, it's kind of, you know, you're not playing for anything. That must be incredibly difficult for those clubs that are in the, you know, the next bunch of teams down, sort of like the three down to 10, who've literally, you know, they've got nothing to play for.
Yeah. Well, I think we spoke about this last season. It seems quite harsh, really, because as you said, by Christmas time someone could have already run away with it, and then you sort of wonder what you've got left to play for, to be honest, unless you're still in the Vars, if you're lucky enough to be in that. You know, by that point most of, pretty much all of Step 5 are out of the FA Cup, so yeah, there's very little to play for. But I don't know, unfortunately that's just the nature of the league, and you know, Lance knows how tough it is, I guess. I'm pretty sure, though, the FA did mention that it won't be this season, but next season. I think they've introduced a playoff system, not quite sort of for second to what would it be, fifth, but more along the lines of, I think every second position team in Step 5 would play, I guess, the neighbouring league second place team, and then you go until, I guess, there's a winner, or, you know, someone's eventually through, or no, I think it's then you play the second bottom team of the team above Step 5. So whoever's,
take away the number you first thought.
So for example, I haven't really done this in the most fluid way, but if there was someone second bottom in, say, the I guess the Southern Central, as it's known now, then, you know, if you get through to play them, then it would be a kind of winner takes all. So I think that's coming in next season, but you know, if we can do the job this season, then why not? And I think we've got as good a chance as we've had in a long while.
Well, the perfect start. Let's listen to what Lance had to say following the game.
So it's a Friday evening under floodlights, 194 people here, and you couldn't have asked for a better start to the season.
Yeah, let's have another 18 of those at home on a Friday night, can we please? Because, like I say, the fans have come out in their numbers, actually, so perhaps a Friday night is a good thing, because all through last season, actually, I thought we played better under lights, ironically. But tonight's start was superb. The way we said before we came out was actually the first 15 minutes was to press, get them turned, and high intensity. They did that in the first 8 minutes for 2-0 up, and we probably had a lack of concentration in the first half, only for 10 minutes. And then Sam makes a couple of decent saves in that period. But we always felt, we've created so many chances tonight just through sheer desire at times, and just through good areas of balls being put into places where people can run onto. you know, so, yeah, delighted with that start.
And as you say, first 15 minutes really took the game to Haverhill, and it was kind of all over, really, after that, because they never really looked like threatening.
No, they didn't. I mean, obviously, the 2-0 scoreline is the worst scoreline ever, because when it was 2-0 and then Sam makes the two saves, you then think yourself, don't let them back in, because we've done so well. But that shows you how football can be sometimes. But I think you're right. I mean, we were on top for most part of the game. I think we were competent. We were... in control for most part of it, and like I said, they had a 10-minute spell first half and probably a 5-minute spell second half. Apart from that, we've dominated. And if we'd come away with a 7 or 8 tonight, people probably wouldn't have questioned it, because we've been very dominant at times. Set pieces, 4, we look very strong, you know. And so we've got a long throw from either flank. We've got 3 or 4 6-foot-plus good headers of the ball. And the pleasing thing tonight was the first goal was a set piece. The second goal was anticipation to intercept and then a good ball across the box, and the third goal was a footballing goal, you know, in terms of how we the first 3 goals in the first half. So delighted.
And certainly some of the delivery from set pieces, really, really good, and some great aerial threat there.
Yeah, I mean, we said this, we worked on set pieces a bit in the last season. We were saying the ball sometimes was a bit floated. So the driven ball, as it rises into the box, you can attack it a bit like the Red Arrows as such, you know, one after the other kind of thing. And we're starting to understand it a bit more. And obviously, with the threat of Ed Rolfe, Evan, Rob Roddy, James Chivers, even to Max, you know, we've got a big side in terms of, you know, set pieces for. So, yeah, I mean, we said we will probably score more goals from set pieces than we'll do probably open play. But tonight, what really pleased me was that people like, you know, I mean, Lewis McDonald was the third goal for the endeavour. He's run 75 yards to score that. And that just shows, I think, we've created something last season. We've built on that in the off-season. And the camaraderie and the group itself, you know, people are disappointed not to play tonight, and that's what you want. And like I think I said to you last week, I've got decisions to make, and it's going to be difficult, but there's a long season ahead of us. It's a great start. We won't get carried away with it, because obviously Long Melford on Tuesday, that's the next one, and that's how it should be.
And as you said, you wanted people to play together and be able to substitute, and you did just that, 2 substitutions, and it didn't really slow the game down at all.
No, not at all. I just commented on that for the second half. You know, it's always, when you're winning 3-0 and it's comfortable first half, it's always difficult to come out second half and continue to do that. And so the pleasing thing was that when we made the 2 changes, like you say, it didn't really slow us down. We still played at a high intensity. We pressed from the front as we did in the first 45. And I just thought the whole 90 minutes was a competent display of power, presence and ability at times. So yeah, delighted with it.
And a clean sheet, and the effort's still there even on 85, 89 minutes, exactly as it was in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, we stressed that. Actually, there's a few items or bullet points on the board inside, and one of it is goals and clean sheets. Last year, I think we let too many goals in to create or not give us the clean sheets. And so we've said this year, clean sheets are our aim. Keep many clean sheets. The good old days of Histon, you know, we kept 18, 19 clean sheets a season, and we're always in the top 4 or 5. So that has to be a remit this year. And so the hunger to keep clean sheets has to be there. And tonight it showed that, like you say, 85 minutes in and still pressing to win the ball back.
I love it when you get a manager who really understands the game. That's all right. I'm not really. I'm having a joke at Lance's expense, because he said there's a sign on the wall that says, you know, that outlines the philosophy: clean sheets, score goals. And I'm thinking, yeah, that just about sums football up, that one, doesn't it?
It's that simple.
Yeah, something. Perhaps we should stick up on the changing room at the Abbey. But there you go. It's interesting, because you've got league action against Long Melbourne. Melford coming up at home, and that's on the 7th, so that's Tuesday night, isn't it? And then, of course, a really important game very early in the season. You've got the extra preliminary round of the FA Cup, Peterborough Northern Star, who look to be quite a good side, Lance was saying. So that's going to be important. That's a way of making some money. And then Godmanchester Rovers and Ely City, who again Lance fancies for being one of the top sides. So in the same way as United have got a team, got a difficult start, so have Histon, but they're obviously both going into the second game with a very different mindset, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's going to be a testing run of games now. As you said, you always want to go as far as you can in the competitions because of the money, and it's certainly something that we could do with. And I think the FA have actually doubled prize money in the rounds as well, so you know, that would come in very handy indeed. And also, I think we've got, if we do get through past Peterborough, then we've got another home draw, so again, it's sort of just an extra bit of an incentive just to try and get through and make the most of it, really. And you know, a cup run and a little bit of a string of wins sort of brings confidence as well, so certainly want to make the most of that. And then yeah, some important league games. As we said, God, Manchester are going to be really strong. Finished, I think, third last season, third or fourth. So that's going to be one of our first real big testers. And Ely, who are always solid, and I think they got off to a 3-1 win. And yeah, though again, it's a local derby, and one that we'll want to get a win with. So yeah, it's a testing few games, but if we can kind of get over them and put a string of wins together, then you know, who knows what could happen.
Cool. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll get Steve on the phone. They City obviously haven't started their season yet, but we'll have a quick catch up on the St Ives game yesterday and talk a bit about the stadium.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire,
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
So there we go, let's just try and get Steve. We've got the same phone system, which means I can't talk and dial at the same time, because otherwise you'll hear everything I'm saying. So hopefully he's going to answer the phone. Hey Steve, how you doing?
Yeah, well,
thanks. Yeah, not too bad. Okay, so the season obviously not started yet. After a heavy defeat against Godmanchester, it's St Ives yesterday, a nil-all draw.
Yeah, I think it was needed in a sense to get a... Obviously, the pleasing thing, I think, Audrey said as well, was the clean sheet. And, yeah, I mean, pre-season's been funny. It's not, the results certainly haven't been what I would have hoped for. You know, I was positive for last week and still remain so, given the players that we signed and perhaps even one or two more to come. But it's a funny time, because obviously I think everyone's itching to go now that everyone else has started, and we've got two more weeks, which is a real quirk of the league, in so much as the reason they've done it is that some teams that step four in our league and all the others have FA Cup next week and some don't. So the league said, well, they basically couldn't make up the fixtures to work for that reason. And they also said, well, we can't make the teams that aren't in the FA Cup start their season ahead, because they thought it was an unfair advantage. So they just said, well, we'll start the week after. But I think that's, you know, it's a bit annoying, because I think everyone in our league, I think if you ask Corby, who were playing the first game, they would probably say, yeah, we're ready to play next week. You know, I think it's a bit of a nonsense, really, already in the new league. But, you know, it is what it is. So Robbie's just got to get them going. And one way is to get the run out like yesterday, and you know, he's got a few sessions, training sessions to work with him now. And I think, you know, the biggest thing will be defensively in the clean sheet. And as I said, that's why it's very important, because last year, perhaps that was our weakness. And, you know, ultimately, when it was quite fine margins between, you know, going up in effect, those clean sheets are the ones that I think would have tipped the balance had we had them. So he's obviously found a goalkeeper, who I know you spoke about last week. And again, he was very good yesterday. And I think, you know, the feedback was that, you know, the shape of the team off the ball defensively was much, much better than previous friendly. So I think they're working on it. I think it's clearly that's our area. But the rest of the team has got a nice balance. It's, you know, it's retained a lot of the side, as you said last week, and I know you spoke to him. So we're kind of ready to go, really. I think it's just a case of finishing touches. You know, I personally would love to sign Hall. I think he's played a couple of games with us now. I thought he'd be gone. If I was honest, early in the pre-season, I thought he was off somewhere. But he's basically played the last two or three with us. And, you know, to my mind, if he's not been snapped up by now, he's got to sign, because teams are all started and teams want their players in their squads. They want them, you know, to have trained with them and done pre-season and certainly get into the action. So I think the fact he hasn't would be in our favour. As to why he's not signed, I'm not sure. I'm sure whether there's an offer pending, or I don't know, you'd have to ask Robbie, but certainly, you know, he'd be one I think would be very vital to us just to get those goals, because otherwise we'd be quite reliant on Sharman again. And possibly one or two others in reinforcements, but, you know, the squad is there now, so it's just a waiting. You know, it's a bit frustrating, really, watching everyone else. Whether you win or lose, you know, it's whether you know to lose, doesn't matter. I just want to be playing, to be honest. I guess it's just wait and see. But yeah, look, we've got some busy week on the training field, I imagine. You know, get the finishing touches to the squad, get the injury, not little knocks and niggles out of the way, I suppose. That will be in our favour to come, you know, everyone fresh. And if we've got a fresh squad going into what will be a tough game against Corby, then you know, if we've got full strength team, we'll have every chance at home. You know, I don't think that'll be, you know, there won't be any lack of energy and excitement going into that game, given that they've got this break to sort of chomp at the bit with, really.
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously we'll get into this a little bit more when we're a bit closer to the start of the season. Just quickly though, the news, and we've got 30 seconds from you on this. The news that they're scaling back the stadium plans due to cost overruns. Is that something that concerns you in a nutshell?
A little bit, but I don't think the scaling back is going to be as much as people think. I think it's still an ongoing negotiation. I mean, I think what we need to do is just see the plan. They'll put a final plan out, I think, to the public when it's ready. And I think that we'll be able to see better from that, you know, what it's like. I don't think it will change drastically. So that's the good thing. So I think the statement was just to reassure fans it was still happening because it was very quiet on that front. So you know, to keep us informed, we've just got to make sure we keep an eye on it. And I'd like to see the actual revised plans before I sort of comment on if it's, I think it's good or bad. But yeah, a new stadium is what we want. So that's what we'll be going for.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Steve. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
As I promised last week, we didn't get a chance to do the pre-season for the women's football. We've had a chance this week. So let's listen to what Kevin Hoover, Cambridge United women's team, had to say about their pre-season. Kevin, by your own admission, an underwhelming season, really, last year. I mean, obviously, the disruption of changing managers. What went wrong?
We were on the back foot, squad-wise. When we took over, the squad wasn't big enough, didn't have enough depth, which means the competition for places wasn't there, and the general professionalism around the club wasn't at the level it needed to be, and the season kind of drifted away from us, to be honest.
And you've had three sets of open trials, you've had a good number of players down there, a promising crop of people coming through there?
Definitely. Our reserves are now the development squad, so we basically have rebuilt that squad. There's going to be at least 12 or 13 new players in there. So they're young, they're hungry, they're keen to learn. Tyler's now in charge and he loves developing young talent. So we've moved them into the reserve league for the first team. And it looks like a good season for them. First team wise, we've targeted players more for that. We've got two through the door already. Vicky Neal from Watford, two leagues above Watford are or were. Now they've been in the National League, but she brings like professionalism. Mm-hmm. She's her commitment to what she does is immense, and it would rub off on others.
And you talked in the paper about you're attracting players because of the quality of the facilities and the quality of the coaching, rather than obviously being able to pay them. Is Vicky a product of what she's seen from here in order to come along?
Absolutely. We worked hard to get her, and one of the big things for her was that things were done right and in a professional manner, and that we were ambitious in what we were doing. And we've committed to be much more professional. The training is a very high standard. We've got Sean, we've got first team coach Ben, who take the sessions, and they're very, very good coaches. And the sessions are really high quality. And that has not only attracted Vicky, but a lot of the young players have trialled elsewhere, and they've chosen us because of how professional our sessions were.
And talking about Vicky, obviously come from a higher level, scored two goals in the opening pre-season game. Not only a great signing individually, but as you say, something that will attract other players to the club that might not have thought about it.
Absolutely, she's a marquee signing. For us to get her to drop down to join us, it shows that we're ambitious, and it shows that we're a club that are worth having a look at. And then we've got a couple more players who are training with us at the moment. We're talking to them, hopefully we'll get them over the line. But we've also got Becky Shepherd from Royston, and she was a goal a game for them last season, and that's what we were lacking. We were lacking someone to put the ball in the goal. Yeah, she's every training session that goes by, she's looking sharper as well.
And as you say, you brought Tyler on board with the what was the reserves, now the development team. He's come from a US background where women's football is much stronger from the college system, but a great addition to the coaching team.
Absolutely. His passion is massive for women's football, not just football, but women's football. And we're really pleased that he's took on the role of development manager. We think he'll be really good. He's assisted by Emma Roberts, who's a very experienced footballer, and she's going to be his assistant manager. She's brilliant, the experience she's got, not only in women's football, but just around this football club. So between the two of them, we're really confident that they'll do well.
And the development of that squad important, but also trying to give them opportunities to break into the first team as well. That's obviously part of the plan.
Absolutely. We have always maintained that if a young player is good enough, we will give them opportunity. We'll look after them. We won't just throw them in and burn them out. You've got to be careful with them. But everybody in that development squad, if they show enough good performances, they will get in the first team. We'll yeah, we are committed to giving young players the opportunity to play at a high level.
And you've signed, aside from Vicky, a number of, I think there's 8 or 9 new players in the squad. I mean, how difficult is that in all, you know, gelling in what's a fairly short pre-season?
It'll be tough. The development side, they've got some friendlies lined up, so that'll be a chance for them to gel. It will be tough, but we are going to play in such a way that the club ethos will be the same through both teams. So what we're learning now will stand them in good stead. It's just a matter of slotting the right people into the right positions.
And still fair way to go before the season start. Are things progressing as you'd want them to progress, both in fitness levels and shape and tactics?
Yes, we still want more from them. We are really demanding this year. That's one thing we are. They're doing well. I think we could do a little bit better, but we're comfortable where we are.
And the league typically over the last 2 years has been sort of like close at the top and then fairly wide open at the bottom. Is it going to be much the same this year, do you think?
I expect it to be. Generally, we know the standard that you need to be to win the league, and then the kind of teams below that, we know that level as well. We need to be somewhere in there as well, having a look at them. The thing with our league is that every year, especially this year with the restructuring of the leagues, there's a lot of player movement. So whilst you know how good you've got to be, we don't really know until we get going how good everyone else is and how they've strengthened. We're happy with what we're doing. We think we're going to be there or thereabouts, but we won't know until a couple of months into the season.
And what are you looking for from the players in terms of the way in which they play performances and how they develop during the season?
We're looking at positive football. We're not going to be someone that's going to sit there and protect a 1-0 lead. We're going to go out and we're going to try and score goals. We expect them to be just positive in everything they do. That's what we'll keep drumming into them. They've got to be positive, whether it's in their defence or whether they're going forward. Just be positive in what we do.
So that was Kevin Hoover, Cambridge United Women. They're playing, their season opens on the 19th of August against AFC Wimbledon away. Then the following week they're against Oria, Leighton Orient Women away. And their first home game isn't until September the 9th, which is Denham United at Mildenhall Town. So good luck to them for the season. I also got a chance to speak to Tim Rapley from Cambridge City Ladies. This is what he had to say about the pre-season and the season preview. Tim, last year, a good season, finishing second behind Billericay Town. Very stingy in the defence department, not giving many goals away, but outscored by both first and third place.
Yeah, that's a fair point that you make there, Tim. Defensively, we've been pretty good since I've been here. Our goalkeeper, T, I think, is a big part of that. She actually got my manager's player of the year last year. She was pretty exceptional. Goal scoring has been a little bit of an issue. Bella Simmons, you might have heard of, she's scored quite a lot of goals for us and actually was the top goal scorer in the league. But we could certainly do with a few more of the guys chipping in. And this year we have actually recruited Shannon Shaw from Marchtown. And she's done very well in pre-season, scored a couple of goals already. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more help for Bella.
And you mentioned signings. Obviously, Shannon Shaw got 2. Sofia Castiglione's got 1 as well. And Laura Mills continues to shine.
Definitely she does. We played Ipswich on Tuesday night. And Millsy scored an absolute cracker of a goal, and Sophia scored again. Sophia is a City girl that we had with us in the younger age groups. She's been with the Ipswich under-23s camp up there, but she decided that she'd rather play locally back at City. So we're delighted to have her back in the squad for sure. And she started the season, or pre-season, really, really well.
And 2 games in 2 days in the pre-season, started off with a 3-3 draw against Norwich City Ladies and then doing well against an Ipswich Town Ladies side 2-2, and then conceded 2 late goals, but both teams from higher leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. So we thought this pre-season we'd try and push ourselves to see where we're at. The Norwich game was our first of the season. I think that was their 4th game of their pre-season. But I was really, really pleased with the ladies, the way that they applied themselves and played some good stuff, actually. I think we probably deserved to win that game. Ipswich was a bit tougher. I think they've got quite a few new signings, mainly from Basildon, I believe. They're some very good players. But yeah, we held them to 2-2. Towards the end, I think we lost a set piece and won sort of a bit of a defensive mix-up. But again, overall, very pleased.
I noticed you were looking for a game for this Sunday, and you've still got Loon to come. Have you managed to find a game yet?
Right, well, I think we might be going down to Harlow on Sunday, but I'm not that keen playing teams that are in our own league. So I've yet to decide if we're going to do that one, but we might just use the opportunity to perhaps get a little bit more defensive shape and set pieces and that sort of thing, because we haven't really done much of that. It's all more about fitness and just playing the two games.
And then you'll finish, obviously, at Luton. What are the aims for the last couple of weeks of pre-season?
I think it's ready to hit the ground running on the 19th of August, is when we start. So it's a very early start for us. And I think just to get the 12th of August game against Luton, which I'm sure would be a very tough game. The squad is definitely improved from last year. A few are still away on holiday, so it's difficult to know exactly what the starting 11 will be. But it's an opportunity for the ladies to get some fitness and for me to have a look at them and see how we play.
So overall, are you pleased with the progress so far in pre-season?
Yeah, at the moment I'm very pleased. So hopefully I'm not getting too ahead of myself. But I know we've got a very tough game to start the season with. We've got Peterborough and Northern Star, who have moved over from, I think, the East Midlands League. And I think they were pretty successful in that. So I think we've got a tough opening. And then we go away to Royston as well the second week. So should be good. Really looking forward to it.
And as you say, league opens on the 19th of August. Who do you think will be the front runners in the league this season?
Yeah, I thought Acle last year would do very well. And they just sort of petered off a little bit at the end. I think they came third to us. I think they will be strong. They're very well organised. Got lots of people on the sort of coaching side of it and support staff, so I think they'll be certainly up there. But I think Peterborough Northern Star will be possibly the strongest team, one we need to look out for.
And it's worth mentioning lots of success for the girls team further down the club. You've got the under 13s who won the National Aces competition, the under 12s, the ESF champions, and the under 10s have just won at the Histon tournament. That must be good for future development.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're now going into this coming season with 10 teams, I believe it is. All the teams have been really successful. The season just gone. The under 13s, particularly, they're actually an under 12 side that play a year up. So they've done very well to win their league. I think they won the cup as well. And I think at the ECF, they've actually entered their appropriate age group. But to win the Aces and the ESF, that's some going, because the Aces is particularly a tough competition because they invite all the league winners from around the country to participate. So, yeah, hats off to them. They've done really well.
And you've got a football school coming up, Arsenal Ladies. What's the link in there?
Yeah, so Arsenal offered out sister club opportunities. So we decided to do that last year. Just gives you a little bit of a link into Arsenal. Go and see some of the Super League games down at Borehamwood, which is where they play. Get some tickets for that. They also give you the opportunity to do some coaching sessions for the coaches. And they also do some soccer schools. We decided that we would give that a go. So we've got, I think, on the 13th and 14th of August here at Trinity College for, I think it's ages from 6 years up to about 13 years. There's information on our website about that, and I know Arsenal also promoting it on theirs.
Okay, and just finally, fundraising always difficult for teams, but you've reached a stage where you can now collect tokens from the Cambridge Evening News to provide some funding.
Yeah, so obviously a totally volunteer club, self-funding all the way through, so we have registrations and we have that.
When it comes to your pet supplies, support your local independent pet shop, Nutty About Pets. With a fantastic selection of pet food and small animals, we also have an aquatic centre with a great choice of cold water, marine and tropical fish. For competitive prices, fantastic promotions and expert qualified staff, visit your local New Look Pet Store, Nutty About Pets Hardwick, open 7 days a week. Call us on 01954 214 530.
It's just coming up to 7 o'clock with Excuse Me Cambridge. Save time and find recommended local tradespeople and home services at excuseme.co.uk. Online, on digital, and on FM.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.